Okay, Mark Matea is the inventor and CEO of Leap Burrito. Leap Burrito is an eco-friendly, reusable bag invented, designed, and manufactured in the USA, Charlotte, North Carolina, that makes collecting and transporting all types of lawn and yard debris easy and efficient for private clients and green businesses alike. The product was invented and launched in 2016 in Charlotte, North Carolina, where it was well received by residents, green industry businesses, and homeowners associations. Please welcome Mark Matea to Creative Living Charlotte podcast. Hey, Mark, thank you for taking the time today to tell us more about you and your company and what all you are working on. So, yeah, thank you.
All right, thanks for coming out. So the like you said, it was invented in 2016 in my front yard, out of laziness. So we literally, I literally scooped up 20 bags worth of leaves, put it into a tarp that was blue on one side, brown on the other, and rolled it up. It looked like a burrito, and then I put it out on the street. And the city does not take tarps. They're dangerous. They'll get overloaded. People will abuse it. They'll put a 40-foot by 40-foot tarp out there. So they don't, as a rule, and in our ordinance, we don't take tarps. Big dangerous part too is if they did take it and they emptied it, it could blow back into the street and cause a wreck. So that's a really dangerous thing. So then I ran up the street and saw the yard waste guys coming down the street, and I said, "Guys, I know you don't take tarps, but I need a big favor. When you get down to my yard, I'll help you throw it into your truck, but I need a big favor." And as they're coming down the street, they're ripping open plastic bags one at a time from my neighbors up the street. And I was like, wow, it's taking them a really long time to get down to my house. And then the other thing I noticed is they were putting those bags into a bag. So then I said, well, where do those bags go? They said, right into the landfill because you can't recycle dirty plastic film. And then that was the aha moment. I was like, okay, well, the bags are bad. They look bad. They float down the street. They go into storm drains, and but we can't use tarps because people will abuse it. So what ended up, basically, the strategy was is to create a controlled tarp. The mesh turned out to be just sort of a magical coincidence where, hey, wait a minute, this isn't going to blow into the street either because it's not a tarp. It's porous. So even if you hit it with a backpack blower with a high wind, it might fold over, but it's not going to just go rolling. So it's like all these things just kind of came together. It was just kind of a magical happenstance out of laziness on my front yard.
Very nice. So what is the mission behind Leap Burrito?
I would say one is, of course, to have a great business, scale it up, but get rid of plastic bags, make the streets look better. I'm big on, one of my mantras is single use anythings are bad. So one of the big things about the business is that right before I started this, there was this huge international wave of like no plastic. Like if you check hashtag no plastic, it's unbelievable how many things are going away from plastic internationally. So I jumped on my Leap Burrito surfboard. And I'm riding this thing because now I'm like so ahead of the curve, and literally I have an international marketing wave behind me doing all the hard work, saying single, plastics and plastics are not good. So, Four Ocean, great example,
Oh,
we're
great
cleaning
company.
up. Yeah,
Great
and I
company.
love that kind of
Got
stuff.
it, yeah.
So they're a nonprofit. They're creating jobs. They're hiring fishermen who have downtime to go clean up water, stuff like that. So I think the reach on the product could be international for
Absolutely.
sure, and it's just such a win-win for everybody. Meaning that, as you saw out there, the employees who are making them to YKK is a USA company, making the zippers, and they're a super sustainable company. Of course, the city has a safer, more ergonomic way to empty yard waste. It looks better. Paper bags are not sustainable. And when I say that, I mean that yes, you can throw it away and it will dissolve. But it took planes, trains, and automobiles to get that paper bag back to Lowe's so that I could drive my gasoline car to Lowe's to go get a 10 pack and then run out.
Large carbon footprint, I guess.
It is. And then what they do is they take cardboard and they reduce it back down to liquid. And they like bleach it all out, they pull out all the glue, all the tape, all that kind of stuff. And then they ultimately put it into giant rolls of, it looks like a massive roll of paper towels, but 20, 30 feet wide. Wow. And you have to have a plant to do that. And then what it does is it pulls it off the roll, and then that's what makes paper bags for grocery stores and for yard bags both. So the energy that it takes to move from A to B and just keep repeating that thing is tremendous versus like a reusable burrito where you don't put anything in the earth.
Right.
And if your burrito lasts 5 years, I mean, think about all the paper bags and plastic bags that we've saved from one residential user. So, just one. Man. So it's a big deal. And I like the idea of the simplicity. So I'm not creating, let's just say, for example, Salesforce, and I'm in technology.
Okay.
Salesforce is a very complicated thing. You have to have high-skilled developers and servers and engineering and technology and web developers and the infrastructure of data center, all of these different components that are all high-skilled jobs. I'm making leaf burritos with a sewing machine and screen printing with a squeegee,
yeah.
Which means that I have a card on my desk over there for Veterans Home. It's an organization where they reacclimate veterans, you know, with a lot of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm-hmm. And I can hire handicapped, I can hire part-time moms, I can hire veterans, I can hire ex-incarcerated people, and I can hire them full-time, I can hire them part-time. And the best part is they literally could walk in and they could say, okay, well, what needs done today? They'd say, okay, well, there's 400 bags over there with straps on with a tacking machine. Okay, we'll just pick that up. And then they get through 100 of them. And then the next person comes in and say, okay, what do I need to do today? So it's not like you have to have this one skill. You can literally pick up where they left off and everybody can rotate, so it keeps it kind of fresh too. So if you're tacking for a week, and then you might move to zippers for a week, then the screen printing for a week, then fulfillment for a week, and then you kind of, you know, keep it fun. But I think I can employ a ridiculous amount of people, and then the big win is it goes viral from city to city. Charlotte kills it. We literally get on an international map of being the first city with, we'll call it not even mass adoption, we'll just call it adoption. And that could look like 15-20%. If we got 25% of Charlotte, that would be a massive victory, because half the people do their yard work, the other half don't. And so if we have 25%, that means we have half of the half. That means that the other half that are still doing their own yard work are going to put out a few paper bags and plastic bags, but we've just chopped that whole landfill mess down to nothing. And then hopefully eventually there's a lot of cities actually now, I want to say it was Denver, and some other cities that are banning plastic bags for single use. And that mostly applies to like grocery store bags,
okay,
and stuff like that. But what's going to happen is that's going to start bleeding into the yard waste also. And there's actually a lot of cities up north that only allow paper bags. And the problem is everybody hates paper bags. If you try to stuff them too hard, they burst. And there, even if you look at one of them, I don't know if I have one in the office here, but even if you look at one, it tells you to fill it like 3/4 of the way and then, you know, roll it over. So yeah. I just bought something that I can't even utilize all the way. And it's a double ply, heavy duty, thick thing that stands up tall. But guess what? If it doesn't stand up on my yard, it falls over. So every time I dump my grass clippings into it, this dumb little bag falls over because my grass isn't level. So it's not even ergonomically useful. It's difficult to put stuff into a small mouth. And so really, I think it I don't want to say it saves the world by any means, but it's the next post-it note.
Yeah, certainly making waves for sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we hope that Charlotte can visually, you know, because it's a great clean city, it's 1 million people, mm-hmm, that, you know, we're not coming out of, let's just say, Cary, North Carolina, which I'm sure is great, but it's a medium to small size city. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going big. We're in a big city, and it took a long time to get here. But, you know, like everything else in life, a lot of times things are worth it. Yeah. You know, the harder the fight, the more it's worth it.
Have you guys reached out to Four Ocean yet?
I did. I actually, I sent them information about using our 5-foot burritos and even our tote burritos for their cleanups, because I see them pulling stuff out of the ocean.
Yeah.
And I also see them pulling stuff off the beach.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm thinking, oh my God, this is perfect because our thing bleeds the water out, and you could literally, you know, almost scoop, you know, something nasty with our tote bags right out. And then now you have this perfect container because it's drying. So they're a massive company. I didn't hear anything back.
Yeah. Maybe send them a sample or something. I think they're headquartered down in Florida.
Oh, interesting.
West Palm. But let's see. So how did you come up with this invention? Like what, you know, all the materials, the different patents you have on the device, how did you come up with all this?
Well, the patent was in the fold, and I can't remember exactly how I came up with that fold. I think it was because if I wanted to have a controlled tarp, I had to have a way to control putting a zipper on it, and it had to be efficient and easy to use. And so I think just playing around with how I was folding a tarp. So the blue tarp I told you about, it's blue on one side, brown on the other. When I rolled it up, I rolled it up towards the middle, and I had the middle open, so it looked like a baked potato. And then, of course, I got my bungee cords and hooks, and you know, you can put twine and all that kind of stuff in there. And that's the other problem with the garbage guys, is that they don't have time to unlearn or undo or learn like my twine or my hooks. And what do they do with all those bungee cords that were wrapped around it? Did they throw them back in the yard? You know, what happens to them? So again, there was no system. So anyway, I think what happened is when it looked like a baked potato and then the leaves were gone, it now looked like a flat baked potato. And that's basically our design. So if you look at a baked potato where you eat out the inside and then basically now it's laying flat, you have a hole in the belly. And then that just turned out to be the way the zippers worked out. So now we have four 24-inch zippers on the sides that zip toward the middle, and then either a 5-foot zipper or a 7-foot belly zipper.
That's great. And you were explaining to me a little bit earlier about the material you guys have to source from Taiwan. What is the solution to that? You said that's kind of a bottleneck. What is the solution to that?
Well, right now it's a great price. It's a great, great product. We haven't been able to find a company in the States that, again, could do an 89-inch wide roll instead everybody else is 60-inch wide. And, you know, these are pretty grandiose machines. They go through, I mean, it's like a Costco-sized factory, and it's running it through a heat process, so it actually heat seals it. And it's, you know, it's kind of a big deal. I think that we also didn't have the volume to, like, go approach a big company in the United States and say, hey, look, we want you to, you know, invest in a $500,000 worth of machinery to make your thing a little bit wider. one of the things we thought about doing was taking two pieces and then hemming them together, but that's extra labor, it's extra work, it's an extra failure point, where the hem, where you put two pieces together, could come apart, and, you know, thread could come out of there. So we said, well, we don't want to do that. And then even the pricing in the States was still a little pricey compared to the Taiwan. So yes, we have a 3 to 4 month lead time, but price wise, it's amazing. The company's actually out of Hawaii, and Canada, but they own the plant in Taiwan. So it's technically a Hawaii based purchase, U.S. purchase. It's just the lead time of, you know, things on a boat. And so today, we're actually waiting on an order of mesh. They said that no containers are going back to Taiwan.
Really?
Because everything's being imported, but nothing's being exported. And so what they do is they don't send those containers back until they're full. So if we're not sending anything back, they're just waiting until they get filled up. And then so that's pushing things back potentially a whole, you know, another month on top of that 3 months.
Wow.
And I don't know if that's going to get better or worse. Maybe pandemic-wise, it's just temporary, I hope.
Yeah.
But again, the ideal world, and I joke, but serious, you know, Jeff Bezos is listening, go buy me a machine or help fund an existing mesh company to build a machine for us and work with us to reduplicate what we're doing in Taiwan. And, you know, we'll buy everything from you. And then, of course, if this thing goes international, then guess what? We just built a USA supplier or supply chain component. So now we have YKK zippers, and now we have our mesh. And, you know, made in the USA.
Wow. That's awesome, man. What are the top three benefits to this product?
Reusability, durability, and affordability.
Yes. And how much again was it for retail on average?
$69 for a residential bag and $84 for the 7-foot landscaper bag. However, universities will use the 5-foot bag. And the reason is they have a lot of their workforce is volunteer and they're over 55. And it's a little bit more manageable for these employees. And when you stand it up on end, it looks like a rollout, like a standard rollout garbage can. It's about that size. So if you think about picking that up and moving it around, like within a garden, it can literally stand up, which is great. Because then I can go back in along a school building, a college building, and go weed and then pull that thing out pretty easily. The 7-foot ones are great for tree companies, Bartlett Trees. You know, they're using a whole tree out of a backyard and hard to get to places. The sticks, so durability, that point number two, is you can fill this thing with logs, pea gravel, pointy, sharp sticks, anything. Even, quite honestly, like dirt and rocks. Like if you dig a hole to plant a tree, you have to take that dirt out. Or if you dig a hole to plant a shrub, you have to take that dirt out because you're putting the plants in. And so just even little cleanup stuff like that, if you're a landscaper, you're running around doing annual flowers, pulling out the old, putting in the new. So you can literally put anything in there. And then the other big thing for landscapers is not only can you take stuff out of a job, you can bring it in.
Okay.
So I can bring in mulch. I can bring in pea gravel. I can bring in topsoil, peat moss, pine straw. Had a company, actually a residential customer, called me from Sierra, I want to say it's like a place in California, and they have a problem with pine needles. So for us, we pay money for pine needles. For them, they can't get rid of them because they have, you know, these massive trees, and they basically have to get rid of all these pine needles. And so they just bought a bunch of burritos for this residential area. So again, it's just great for moving stuff around. And again, the durability is unlike anything, especially compared to a short-lived tarp is what we label those guys as, because that's what they are. They're short-lived. And then they end up in a landfill.
Right. What's the weight capacity on the bag, on the 7-foot bag?
Probably 800 to 1,000 pounds.
Wow.
So it's got 10 handles on it. Technically, you know, obviously, if we're going to put 800 pounds in there, then you can either drag it on the grass, and or four guys can pick it up because there's four handles on all four sides, and you literally can carry it. Almost imagine again like a fireman's blanket if you're carrying something big. And it's kind of funny. I actually saw this thing on I guess like an animal channel, but they tranquilized a bear who came into the city. And then they had to carry the bear out.
Oh my gosh.
And they were using something similar to like a leaf burrito where it had handles on there.
Okay.
And it was like a, you know, it was a big sack thing, but it had all the heavy duty things. So same concept if you have to pull anything out that's heavyweight. But the difference on their thing is that it was a solid piece of like plastic or tarp material. And where ours, because it's porous, you can hose it off. And if you have anything that's wet inside, whether it's the wet leaves or anything, like for example, if the stormwater people are cleaning out a big dam that's clogging up a thing, burritos are perfect because then you put all those nasty wet leaves into our thing, and guess what? Our bag drips. Same thing as a residential thing. If it rains out, it goes right through it. If I leave a garbage can out with filled with leaves, it fills, and we have 2-3 inches of water, and then you multiply that by the whole city of Charlotte, for example, that's 2 to 3 inches of water in all these buckets that these guys are picking up all day long. So the extra weight and mess that goes into the truck.
Yes.
So even the plastic bags, if you leave them untied, they fill with water and now they're crazy heavy.
Exactly. Can you talk to us a little bit more about the new products you guys have recently created, the Boat Burrito and different things along those lines?
So the burrito, when I looked at it, I said, okay, well, this holds leaves and bulk very well. So then I said, well, what if we put my boat gear in there, my life jackets and my, you know, ski ropes and gloves and all that stuff to clear space on the boat. So long story short, Boat Burrito comes around. We added a tote version, a tote form, as we call it. And it basically looks like a big purse. A really, really big purse. Still mesh. You can see through it. still, that's the other nice thing is most duffel bags are dark on the bottom. You kind of dig through to find your stuff. And like if you had, let's just say lacrosse gear or football gear or hockey gear, you all those sweaty pads, like this is the perfect sports bag. So now we have Gear Burrito. And we're actually going to try to push that out to university athletic departments.
Awesome.
And we think that if this is in a school, like bookstore, for example, kids will put laundry in it. They'll put, you know, all their stuff in it. And who knows what other uses they'll end up with. You could technically use it for cleaning up trash, like after a football game. You put all the recycled, you know, cans that are all over the football field for pregames and such. So the grounds crews at colleges will actually use it for those purposes as well. And again, it breathes. So if you pick up a half a can of beer, you know, if it drips a little bit, it's going to come out. And so it's really a great thing. We also partnered with Keep America Beautiful.
Okay.
And right before COVID hit, we actually went to this big national conference, and they absolutely loved it. And what they're doing now is they're getting, when they do all their volunteer cleanups, they don't really have a great system other than putting plastic into plastic. So they're picking up trash on the side of the road and putting it into a plastic bag. So I said, well, what if we use Leaf Burritos? So we custom branded Keep America Beautiful on the side of them, and they love them. So between the tote bags and then they do beach cleanups, and so this is perfect for like a beach cleanup because again, it's you could literally put it in the water and pull out stuff. We've had a picture from somebody from Charleston pulling seaweed out of her shoreline with a burrito, like almost like fishing it out, like a fishnet.
Wow. Yeah.
Because then it drains, and then they apparently they use that seaweed for like fertilizer or for other reasons. They kind of harvest it, and so this is a great harvesting bag. So if you think about gardening, picking lettuce and fruit, and you know whether it's fruit off of an apple tree or whatever, and it has a big shoulder bag on it.
Throw it over.
Yeah. So we have Boat Burrito, Gear Burrito, and Beach Burrito.
Very
on top
nice.
Of Leaf Burrito, of course.
And are those for sale to the public yet, or is that unveiling soon?
Actually, we just launched those websites technically last week, and we're like literally putting some newer photos of each of these products.
Awesome.
But as of today, you can actually go out to burritobrands.com, and that'll drill you down to the other burrito types, and you can literally make a purchase at any one of those websites. We wanted to put it all in four different websites that are unique because we would probably market them differently. So a beach burrito, obviously.
Different market.
It is. It's not going to have the landscape utility, so the landscaping usage picture wouldn't make sense on the beach burrito thing. So that's where Burrito Brands Incorporated came in. So that's why we have a parent company now called Burrito Brands. And then we'll have the family of products underneath there. So ultimately, again, the cross marketing, if you like beach burritos, you're going to love Gear Burrito. And if you own a boat, you're going to love a boat burrito, but you're probably going to like a Leaf Burrito, and then you most likely end up at beach. Or you most likely camp if you have a boat, so you're going to want a Gear Burrito. So it's, and again, the reusability. I mean, it's there's also a big international wave of people using reusable bags. They encourage you to bring your bags into a grocery store. And one of our mantras is every, on the landscape industry, every trailer needs a six-pack of burritos. And the same concept for if I go into Costco or Harris Teeter grocery store, I'm not going to bring in one reusable bag. I'm going to bring in a bag with probably four or five bags inside of that bag. And then when I go grocery shop, I might need three of them that day, or I might need four of them. But I certainly don't want to run out of them and bring one in and then end up walking out with five plastic bags plus my one reusable bag. So that's kind of the toolkit approach of landscapers is that you can, it's, you have these on the trailer. You may not use all six that one day. Next day you're going to use all six. Next day you use two. Next day you're bringing three things in and three things out. And so it's just a great tool to have. But the reusability, whether it's for a beach, camping gear, anything.
Absolutely. How many employees do you have now, and how many do you want to have in a year to 5 years from now?
Well, we have a sales marketing staff, and then we have the manufacturing staff. So right now on the manufacturing side, we have two full-time, a seamstress and a seamster. Seamster is a new word I learned.
Nice, yeah.
And then our seamstress has her daughter coming in, who coincidentally is pregnant, so she's able to even come in. That's that part-time thing I was talking about,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So she can come in, do some screen printing, and then take off and just kind of work, you know, as needed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge benefit of the manufacturing process. And then as far as scalability goes, I can talk about that in a sec, but that basically, it's an exact ratio. So the more we sell, that adds exactly that one more person that we need to make that many more bags per day. So if we need to make 10 more bags per day, we'd hire probably one more person for every 10 bags a day that we would need. And so again, if we could start selling hundreds of bags a day, guess what? That's 10 employees.
Yes.
On the administrative sales side, we have actually Christy, you're doing sales, and then I have a good friend of mine who's actually a partner in the business, Lori Eberhardt, who is an attorney.
Yeah.
And she's my personal attorney, and then we kind of bounced this idea around many years ago. And long story short is she basically is working in the business, but just part time right now, until the whole thing really, really goes viral, and then she's going to lean back more toward full-time with this thing.
Okay.
But great partner to have as an attorney, because that's a core piece of the thing, whether it be a simple contract, whether it's just some kind of a deal like the mesh, for example, or looking over things. So that's great to have. And then we have Danny, who is working on all of our websites and marketing and coordinating, like sales coordination, I guess would be,
data.
A lot of data coordination,
yeah.
Plus handling social media, pushing out the Facebook ads, Instagram ads.
Are you driving a lot of business from social?
We actually are. Instagram Nextdoor is actually a killer right now. So Nextdoor is good because people trust it and it's not oversaturated. I think the supply on Facebook is so high that you don't know what to believe anymore. So people have moved from MySpace from many, many years ago over to, I think it was maybe like a Yahoo type platform that was out there. And then it turned into Facebook. And then now people are kind of like bored with Facebook. And apparently on the younger markets, Facebook is like passe to kids now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's old school. And so Nextdoor and Instagram is different. It's unique because it's not, you can still push out a paid ad, but it's just like a different vehicle. It's more about like these random side stories.
Yeah.
It's like me saying how I invented the product versus me actually putting an advertisement out on, you know, here's the durable leaf burrito that you should buy.
Yeah.
So it's the story behind the story. But that's what helps create the loyalty. And, you know, as a small business in Charlotte, made in the USA, is that's where we're hoping Charlotte is just going to go off the hook and literally be a model internationally for every city in the country or in the world.
It's a great, great business and a great concept. And it's really simple to use. I mean, do you feel like people need much explaining on how to use it, or are they just kind of self-explain?
No, it's especially when you watch the video, you know, because most people who buy it, they watch the video first. And it's kind of a quick, easy 1, 2, 3, you know, start flat, burrito it up. That's a verb we created. And then you turn it vertical, and then you can basically squash it down more and more and more. And then put an incredible amount of debris in there, even if there's sticks in there. Versus, again, if you stood on like a plastic bag, it's just going to burst open, especially a paper bag. You can't even stand on a paper bag because it would instantly rip.
Right.
So the ease of getting it into it, that's the other big secret sauce, is that it starts flat like a blanket. So I take off my lawnmower bag off the back and I dump my zoysia grass clippings into the middle of this thing. Then I drag this blanket looking thing around and then throw a bunch of weeds on at the very end. And then maybe I'll go cut a few hedge clippings. And now the very last thing I do is burrito it up.
Yep.
Drag it to the curb, done. City unzips and flips. throws it back on my yard just like a garbage can. And here's another great crazy thing.
What's that?
Again, these things just keep coming up. I don't know how, but a garbage can, I would probably have to buy, for 1 5-foot leaf burrito, I'd probably have to buy realistically 4 Brute garbage cans to fill up about the same amount. But now I have to bring those 4 Brute garbage cans back to my house. So I put them all out there. The garbage guy empties them. He throws them back on my yard. Then I bring them back to my house. Well, guess what? If you turn those things upside down, there's cavities all underneath it. And those are now mosquito farms throughout the week. And especially if you don't use it for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, you now have pockets of water. Yeah. And so if I flip it the other way, it's a giant pool. So either way you flip it, unless you put it on its side, like perfectly, it's drain all the water. So that was another crazy thing, because mosquitoes are a huge deal here in Charlotte. Yeah. And they're even a bigger deal in Charleston and Florida and all these other places. So, and then up north, you know, you have mosquitoes, like there's a big like malaria type problem going on as well. So again, it's just crazy coincidental thing of like, we fixed that problem also of having water in your yard.
Wow, that's a big problem to solve. Let's see, what are the biggest challenges and opportunities in this business that you see?
I would say right now, just some supply chain stuff because of the way that the world is with pandemic. Right. You know, anytime you have to put anything, get anything over from Taiwan, it's a 3 to 4 month lead time. And you're running something across the ocean on a boat. There's a lot that can go wrong. You know, worst case scenario, literally things could sink. And then now there's a whole liability factor of like, if it's in the middle of the ocean and it sinks, who eats that loss? Mm-hmm. And typically it's me, the purchaser. So another great reason why I'd like to drive over to, you know, Cary, North Carolina or somewhere and go buy my mesh. So I'd say some of that supply chain, you know, waiting on other people to get you stuff it's just one of those supply chain things where you just have to stay ahead of it. So, and I think we're there now, but if I can get rid of that, and now what happens is you have what's called the JIT system in accounting, just in time. So if I need 1,000 yards of mesh, I'd like to just call them with a 2-3 week lead time and just get that. Yeah. And then when this thing starts blowing up and scaling and expanding, then that's a bigger piece of the puzzle, because if this thing all of a sudden takes off and goes gangbusters, we're going to need a lot of product, a lot.
Have you guys had any backups so far? Like somebody placed a huge order, you couldn't fill it, or?
No, fortunately we have not, because we stayed ahead of it. But that, quite honestly, is we're talking about some of the challenges of the business, and so the whole thing is self-funded right now, and I'm into it for an insane amount of money personally, right. But I'm into it for that amount of money because I believe in it.
Yes.
I believe that this thing is a long-term, can't miss long-term product, meaning that I don't think it's ever going to fade away. That's why I mentioned and joked about the next Post-it note. I have a million different solutions electronically. Mm-hmm. I still use Post-it notes. Mm-hmm. I don't buy millions of them, but I consistently buy dozens of them all the time. And so I believe in the whole business. So I'd say, so the financially, I had to put up a lot of money to get a lot of the supply to make sure we don't run out. Okay. And that's kind of the juggling thing right now, is that, you know, we get a giant order, somebody comes in, we have a national catalog called Gemplers, they're ordering, you know, like 100 at a time. And, you know, you just got to stay ahead of it. But, you know, it might be $50,000 worth of a minimum order to order the mesh, because you have to buy X number of yards to get to that price point, a beneficial, more economical price point. So now you're, you know, put up 50,000, you know, sell at 20,000, put up 50,000, sell 20,000, so that you're always ahead of it.
Okay. And the biggest opportunities you see just through the municipalities and selling to universities, everything?
Well, right now, there's a lot of residential people, okay, and millions across the country. Yes. So again, if you take one city of Charlotte, is 1 million people, 217,000 homes is what we service for yard waste. Half of those people do their yard work. That's 108,000. And again, we get 10 to 20% of those people. That's, you know, 10 to 20,000 bags in the city of Charlotte. Repeat to Austin, repeat to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, repeat to Columbus, Ohio, repeat to Denver. Yeah. And then boom, 20,000 bags now turns into 40, turns into 80, turns into a million.
Yeah.
So this could go literally across the country. And the other future scalability point is that we could actually open up another burrito factory in Columbus, Ohio, because I know what machines I need, so we can almost franchise model the idea where, like a McDonald's, you don't pick your oven. They send you the oven that you're supposed to use.
Right.
So we would send them all the machines, and we have unlimited amounts of commercial space that's available in the USA right now.
Absolutely.
And this is a library that we're sitting in right now, an old library. So it's all we need is heat and no dust. So any building, any bank, any, quite honestly, even an old fast food place, we could gut it and then have it. That's our perfect location for a burrito factory. And so our model is scale this thing up, and technically you could almost, not necessarily, I don't want to call it a franchise because I'm not a fan of franchises, but
okay.
It could be independently owned, kind of like Bartlett Trees is internationally.
Yeah.
But you have different locations and then you have different managers, and then what happens is Columbus gets behind their own employees. Well, guess what? They're creating income and revenue with their own employees. So it's kind of like they're almost like licensing the idea.
Yes.
All that revenue now stays in Columbus, Ohio. They hire managers, they hire employees, they hire, you pay rent, they do your utilities, whatever it is, and all that money stays as state sales tax. So if they sell a burrito in Columbus, Ohio to a Columbus, Ohio person, guess who makes that money? Columbus.
Yeah.
So that's the bigger model down the road, is that licensing the idea.
Perfect. Yeah, my first thought, I was like, gosh, this needs to be on Shark Tank, but you said you're going to keep it all, you know, kind of in-house, I suppose, no outside.
I do, and the problem with Shark Tank is that, you know, they want to come in on fourth and inches at the end of the game,
right,
and help you get over the goal line,
right,
in exchange for 20% or whatever it may be. And then, quite honestly, I'm not, you know, this much money into it, this show now, mm-hmm. to end up spending 80% of my time working for me and 20% of my time working for somebody else. A long, slower growth mode is more strategic versus saying, like, I want to become, like Ring is a great example. They became big overnight. Mm-hmm. Were they too big too fast? I don't know. I personally don't want to have to go out and buy like a million square foot factory and start making these things and start buying forklifts and semi trucks and all this kind of stuff just yet.
Yes.
That's why I like my idea of spreading it out with licensing. So I could say, okay, well, if Columbus, if you sell 20,000 burritos, and, you know, if I get whatever it is, a dollar thing, then that's $20,000 that can come in from Columbus. And I'm not eating all that burden of housing everything. And because that's a big part of the business. What happens if something happens to Ring Central where they get a massive competitor that takes 50% of their business away? Now they have all this infrastructure and they're stuck with all this stuff and they're downsizing. And so anyway, you guys be careful what you wish for. You go on Shark Tank, you expose your idea to the whole world, mm-hmm. and instantly overnight you have competitors out there.
Right.
Because you just advertised and divulged everything about your business, told everybody that it's a killer million-dollar idea. And then people overseas were to say, aha.
That's right. A lot of people don't look at it like that. Most people don't. Yeah, that's an interesting way, for sure. Okay, so what can we all do to help support Leaf Burrito and our burrito brands?
I would say right now the residential side is the most digestible thing and easy thing. So we're not asking any we're not elephant hunting in the sense where, let's just say, for example, we're trying to go get a national landscape contract from like somebody like Brightview. Like that's a really big thing to do. It's a really big elephant to hunt. What we can do is make Charlotte aware that, hey, 217,000 homeowners, we have a product that's $69 that will change your life. You'll actually enjoy doing yard work, and you're saving the environment, you're making the city look better, you're saving our storm drains, you're not using single-use paper bags, you're getting rid of plastic, you're saving our landfills, and by the way, you're supporting a local Charlotte business and a Made in USA concept, and you're also supporting my Seamster and Seamstress ramp-ups.
Yes.
And you're putting the city of Charlotte on the map as a, you know, international model place for possibly, you know, the next Post-it note.
Wonderful.
So a lot of littles. So, you know, basically we're asking for individuals just to give it a try. And if you have a big yard, you might need to buy two burritos. Yes, but yes. For $69 each, it's one of the greatest two things you'll ever buy.
Very nice. Well, I enjoyed meeting you today, and go to burritobrands.com.
Right? Actually, leafburrito.com would be for the good to go just straight there for the leaf burrito. But if you're looking for gifts, the boat burrito, beach burrito, gear burrito, perfect, especially right now for Christmas season and birthdays and all that kind of stuff. So they're all great products, but burritobrands.com will get you to all the other products, sub-products.
Awesome. All right. Yeah, go there and check out sustainable and reusable bags. And it was really great to meet you. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's great.
Okay. Thank you.